This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yo. Let's go. Your boy KM back on the radio. 888-808-1019. Okay, a couple things I want to do here. We'll get back to the conversation around the Jets, around the Giants, around the NFL free agency, football. I do want to play the Javon Holland audio. Javon Holland signed the deal with the Giants, 3 years, $45 million, $30 million in guarantees. Javon Holland, Jets return on YouTube. I'm trying to pull that up. Javon Holland, unreal, 100-yard pick six off of Hail Mary. I think that was in his mind, and he's like, you know what? I think I'd like to play in New Jersey. But Javon Holland had a piece of audio floating around from a podcast that he did that I ended up catching today, and I'm like, oh, this is hilarious. So Javon Holland had a list of things he was looking for in his next team, leaving the Miami Dolphins. Fleegs, let's play what new Giants safety Javon Holland was looking for, and then we'll go over that after.
I actually wrote down in like the best way I could sum up what I'm looking for. Detailed and experienced coaching, a player supportive ownership, just honest culture setting, men leading head coach with a goal and a standard he holds everybody to. A team that wants to win and has players with like-mindedness about the team's goals and standards. Leaders that want to lead and set examples by action, not by their word. So I think that in itself is, you know, what I'm really looking for. Not necessarily saying that it's not at the Dolphins, but in general, that's like my mindset for what I want.
So Amani Toomer, what are you talking about? Amani Toomer, all that stuff you said about Joe Shane and the Giants? Javon Holland said he was looking for a detailed, experienced head coach that's a leader of men, an honest culture, and a team that wants to win. He picked the G-men. Amani Toomer, stop hating. Amani Toomer said that, you know, Joe Shane is turning players off. And, you know, players aren't looking at the Giants as an appealing destination anymore. And, you know, they see a sinking ship and that he's seen enough of Joe Shane. Well, you're not going to play for Joe Shane. Anyway, 888-808-1019. Shout out to my boy Ben that sends me some notes and stuff, too. Is this true? Puka Nacua has changed his number from 17 to 12 so Davante Adams can take the number 17. I love Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua is such a good football player, but he seems like such a good human and like a sports fan. Like the way that he turned into a kid when he met LeBron, and then his girlfriend puts out content of him like watching LeBron highlights on his phone, and then like he lives in LA. The Lakers obviously host him, let him come behind the scenes to the locker room, whatever. He literally looked like a little kid getting to meet LeBron. The way that he respects LeBron, you got to look that video up. Like Puka Nacua, meeting LeBron. YouTube, it comes up right away. He turned into a child meeting LeBron. And this is one of the best receivers in the league. This guy broke records his rookie year. And he turned into a 10-year-old boy seeing the GOAT, seeing the greatest overall basketball player we've ever seen. Yeah, I know. Jordan is a killer. Black Jesus, MJ, championships. Who else would you want? Clutch with the game on the line. LeBron James is the overall best player we've ever seen enter the NBA. And we don't need to get into the back and forth because you can't convince me. LeBron James is still adding to it. LeBron's not done. He could add to it again this year. And I'm not just talking rings. I'm talking whatever he does this year. There is no more decorated player than LeBron James. There is. He's a billionaire. And he's 40. He's still hooping. Like don't tell me. Hey, I love Jordan too. I'm wearing Jordans right now. I came into NBA and sports rooting for Michael Jordan. But what LeBron has done from St. Vincent to St. You cannot tell. There's nobody else. His resume is untouchable. It's ridiculous. Nobody can stack pound for pound next to LeBron. He don't need to win another championship. Just the fact that he won one championship, just the fact that he beat the Warriors, he told you that. He said, that makes me the greatest of all time, that he beat the, 73-9 Warriors team? Bron. Jason is in upstate New York on the fan. What's up, Jason?
Okay, how you doing? I just want to talk about one thing. That's the Jets draft. First of all, I'm real happy that they got Justin Fields because I thought he was the best available option after Glenn Gore Rogers. But I'm hoping that they draft the kid Jalen Walker out of Georgia. He's a real good pass rusher, and he won the Buckers Award, and I think the Jets need some more defensive help. They need pass rusher, you know.
Yeah, I could see it. I also could see them sticking with Will McDonald and Jermaine Johnson coming back. Jalen Walker is a beast.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Jermaine Johnson and the other guy,
Jalen Walker could be better than both of them. And I know Jermaine Johnson's coming back from an injury. We don't know if he's going to be ready to go. You draft Jalen Walker, he plays right away. He's a starter day one.
Right. And then, don't forget Quincy Williams is a good player, too.
Yep, he'll be starting. Yeah. He'll be starting as well. Yeah. You add him on the defense. They're both tackling machines.
Yeah, right. And I'm just hoping. I'm a long time Jets fan. I'm going back to when they passed up on Marino. I'm just hoping that the losing is over. And this debacle with Aaron Rodgers, it was real sad. But, I'm just hoping that Aaron Glenn is the real deal,
That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Thanks for the call, Jason. I don't know. I'm hoping that this is the turning point. I'm hoping that Aaron Glenn is the former Jet that comes in, changes the franchise, Muji as the GM. I'm hoping that these guys right the ship. I want to go to games over there. It sucks going to MetLife. At least can the game be worth the hassle of the trip? 888-808-1019. And I live in Hoboken, Jersey City. I get there in 20 minutes. I still don't want to go over there because once you go over there with 50,000 people, it's chaos. Can we at least get some good games? Can we at least get some competitive games? Can we at least have some primetime games where it's not over in the first half? I think they can do it. So looking at Tankathon.com, Tankathon.com has Armon Membu, the offensive tackle out of Missouri, going to the Jets at 7. Just a day ago, I was on, and they had Teteroa McMillan. Why are they thinking that the Jets won't draft Teteroa McMillan and they're going to go offensive tackle because they need someone to replace Morgan Moses? I think you can do that, and I guess they haven't done it in free agency, but I think you could do that in later rounds too. Maybe you want to just take the best tackle off the board because – if the Jets draft a tackle at 7, that's the first tackle coming off the board. I don't know, though. It's not sexy enough. You drafted Olu Fashanu last year. Draft a receiver. And I see a lot of Jets fans talking about no draft Tyler Warren. I'm with that, too. I think this Tyler Warren kid is coming in. He's going to wreck stuff. Like, I think he's coming in. He's going to be a monster. He's going to be a problem. This kid is 6'6", 260. If you saw him at Penn State, what he's gonna translate in the NFL. And the Jets passed up on Brock Bowers. I guess it would be a little bit of a reach Tankathon has the Dolphins taking Tyler Warren. Why? Jonnu Smith had a great year. Jonnu Smith helped me a ton in fantasy. I scooped him off waivers that first week he started to get going, and he had some big games down the stretch. Helped me in fantasy this year for sure. If Jonnu Smith is there, why do they need to draft? Because they got rid of Durham Smythe? I don't know. I think that Tankathon is not great anyway. Can't base that as a wild. I mean, like, their biggest need is not tight end for the Dolphins. They need help on defense. 888-808-1019. Where else did I want to go here? Now I'm just thinking about, like, Tankathon changes, and why do they change? Why do they switch? Like, what information are they getting? Shedeur Sanders on Tankathon.com. Shedeur Sanders goes at number 3 to the Giants. Cam Ward goes at 1. Because if they're not able to trade that first overall pick, they should take Cam Ward. But then also Tankathon has Abdul Carter at number 2. They just paid Myles Garrett. You're going to put Abdul Carter on the opposite side? You have other needs. They need a quarterback. Why wouldn't they take Shedeur Sanders? So, yeah, I use Tankathon a lot. I think all of us do. But I don't think their mock draft tab is that accurate. I don't think their mock draft tab is that great. So, all right, what else do we have on the docket? Make sure you're wearing deodorant. Make sure you're wearing cologne. Make sure it's body wash too, man. Some people don't know the meaning of water or soap. They don't know how to put the two together. Grown men and women. Like, that's the problem. You don't shower properly, or you don't shower enough. But I think we did enough of that. But weigh in if you have good cologne recs, or if you have a friend that you're struggling with. Someone maybe at work. That's the thing, too, at work. You can't be smelly at work, bro. At work, boss might have to call you in and be like, hey, we got a couple reports. You're just stinking up the joint. Can't have it. What else did I want to hit on now that I'm blanking? Let me go back. I always have 30 different tabs open as, like, I get scatterbrained, and now I'm doing the live stream too. I have people in there. In my chat, Kevin Gold says, is it true Angel Reese is called the Bayou Barbie? That's wild, dude. Yeah, Angel Reese is a wild character herself. She said that the WNBA women should be making as much as the NBA. And I'm like, if that ain't girl math, if I ever heard it, I'm like, she can't be more misinformed, uninformed. Supposedly there's like a lockout coming for them. And then I saw a clip of Lisa Leslie on her podcast straight up telling her, you know, she asked her, what's one thing in my game you would work on with me? And she's like, your layups. And it's hilarious because Angel Reese is able to get all of those rebounds from missing her own layups and getting the offensive rebound. I shouldn't even know all of this. Of course I should. I'm a sports radio host. But there was a point in time I couldn't tell you anything about WNBA. So at least the WFAN is making waves. Okay, I hit the Puka Nacua thing. Hopefully you've gone to your Twitter. Oh, I knew what I wanted to talk about. The generational Juan Soto. So you know how, you know, everybody's anticipating the Subway Series and May 16th, 17th in the Bronx and what that scene's going to be like. And I told you that F. Altuve is going to turn into F. Juan Soto. But maybe it shouldn't. And maybe it won't last for long. Because I've seen Altuve get power from that. I've seen Altuve on his birthday homer after people are chanting F. Altuve. F his family, right? Altuve, that's his family name. F. Altuve. F. Juan Soto is going to be specifically Juan Soto. But there's a viral video going around of spring training and a guy heckling Juan Soto while he is in the outfield. And shout out to, I guess, Fireside Mets. And they posted this, and people are reposting it. This guy's saying overpaid, overrated, and Juan Soto just turns around and looks at him. Puts his glove on his hip, stares at the guy. I think he says something to him. But then the next at bat goes up and hits a homer, and the homer is hit almost to this Kenny Powers-looking cat. And he hits the ball, and the ball, like, grazes the top of this guy's hands, and the guy falls wasted forever. I'm like, this guy can't show up to any baseball games ever again. You gave Juan Soto power. You thought you were going to the game to heckle Juan Soto, overrated, overpaid. And that just wakes up the beast in a guy like Juan Soto. So when Juan Soto comes to Yankee Stadium, I know fans are going to be torn. Some fans are going to be like the fan that was at spring training with the sign, "The Bronx still loves Soto." No, they don't. No, they don't. But some Yankee fans are going to show up, Juan, especially the ones that used to interact with him during the Yankee games that sat in right field, around right field. But then there's going to be some, you know, hooligan, wild Yankee fans that are chanting F Juan Soto, saying things to Juan Soto that I can't say on air. And Juan Soto is going to take all that in. And then when he gets up to bat, walk him every single time. Walk him every single time. Will Warren, don't you dare throw him a strike. Don't you dare throw the ball over the plate. It is not going to end well. 888-808-1019. I thought that was great. I'm like, that's what spring training is for. Juan Soto, as much as we have talked about Juan Soto, I think I've been pretty consistent. I don't think once I've said Juan Soto is not going to be Juan Soto. He might be better. That's the crazy thing. What if he's just like a year better from his Yankee experience and playing with Judge and being a year older and in his prime? What if Juan Soto is able to just hit 40 bombs again? And I don't know how many ribbies. I think the question marks are with guys like Mark Vientos, Swaggy V. I believe in him. But I also know that the dynamic of last year was like, he thought he was going to be with the team. They signed J.D. Martinez. He doesn't start the year with the team. And then he's super motivated. And sometimes guys need a chip on their shoulder. I can relate to that. Sometimes you need something. Sometimes you need to just have any, like Tom Brady talks about it, like motivation. Did he say something about me before going up against an opponent? Mark Vientos, I think, is a guy that feeds off of the hate, off of the naysayers, off the skeptics. But after his performance in the postseason and what he did at times the end of the year coming up, like, he's a made man. He's going to hit homer. I remember saying, man, this guy's a 30-homer guy. This guy might be a 35-homer guy this year if he's healthy and hitting the whole time. Like, he came up late and hit 27 home runs. So a lot of that pressure is going to be on Mark Vientos to do it again. No quote-unquote sophomore slump. And I don't think there's going to be a sophomore slump. Not in this lineup. And if they're projecting it to be Francisco Lindor leading off, you guys heard Francisco Lindor on with BT and Sal? I heard a little bit of that. They tried to get him a couple times. I thought it was going to, you know, the first thing I thought when I heard Lindor call into BT and Sal was when Lindor checked in spring training and like Gary, Keith and Ron are like, you know, sound like you don't want to talk to us. And he's like, I'm tired, man. And I thought that was the same type of energy that he had for BT and Sal, but it was a good interview. And there was one point where he's like, it seems like you guys just want to talk about the struggles, or it seems like you only want to talk about the negative part. Like, I think and BT clarified it. Like, he's saying, like, no, I want, what we're trying to do is, you know, give you credit for overcoming the struggles, overcoming the down, you know, performances and rising. Man, like, you could be a Yankee fan, you could be a Met fan. If you're a baseball fan, the year that Lindor put together last year was masterful. I was calling for him to be MVP. As much as Loogie says a lot of ridiculous stuff, something he was dead on about before people caught on was Lindor is an MVP candidate. That wasn't trolling. That wasn't a reach. That was like, he must have been watching him every day saying like, nah, this guy shows up every day, does it with his glove, does it with his bat, and should be in the consideration. And he ended up actually being the runner-up. He had much longer odds when Loogie was talking about it. I remember when Loogie first said it, I didn't think it was possible with Ohtani, but I also didn't think it was just possible at all. I'm like, I don't know. And then he went off. He went crazy. They and move him into the leadoff spot. And there were so many games that Lindor was the energy. He was, like, him leading off and him making plays on defense. I forget what game it was. Like, he made a play kind of ranging to his right, like going into the outfield, catching the ball. He was so fired up. It just fired the crowd up, fired the team up. This guy might as well be the captain any day now. And with him leading off, Juan Soto behind him, Pete Alonso third, like, they, you can't say that they don't potentially have the best 1-2-3. Any pitchers coming in got to face those guys right away. That's a tough day. That's a tough start. So they stay healthy. That's another thing, too. Lindor talked about his back. Kind of gives you pause as a baseball fan, Mets fan, even as Yankee fans, right? Like, he talked about how his back was killing him. I think they asked him about, I think Sal said something about how he hit that home run against the Braves and he was just trotting around the bases like nothing happened. Like, it was, he said, one, job's not finished, Kobe line. And then two, he was like, also, like, my back, I was in pain. Like, hopefully the back spasms, the back stuff is in the past. I remember I was in here watching the game. It was the way he was, like, he slid in the second, the way he moved. So maybe that doesn't get triggered again. But they got to monitor that. They got to watch that because, you know, they keep asking him about playing every day. It's another Mets topic I wanted to get to tonight before we get out of here. He wants to play every day, and you got to love a guy that wants to play every day. In the Juan Soto mini movie that the Mets are promoting, Lindor talks about how New York is a place that if you bring it every day, like, we have the fans, we have the culture for it. We have the fan, you know, the radio station for it. Like, if you show up every day, you want to post every day, like, there's people there that are, that see that. There are people there that are rooting for you. There are people that notice that and will talk about it. Like, that might not go on all the time in, I don't know, Cleveland, unless they're winning. And with Lindor saying no, he literally said, I want to play every day, and I got to lift weights, I got to eat better and sleep. Those are the three ingredients to being ready to go every single day. And he's right on. You got to train your body, lift weights to be strong. You got to eat right so that you're recovering and resting so that you're ready to go, recovering the next day to be able to come out and play. And I think he will post. He's still young enough to do it. But they may need to stop him from himself. I was reading an article in SI. Maybe it was Pat Ragazzo. Shout out to Pat. I got to text Pat. Get Pat to come on again. Pat's been doing his thing. Proud of his come up over these last couple years. Pat's a Hoboken guy, a Mets fan, and people have questioned his credibility. And I remember Pat reaching out to me, I think over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, you know, just to connect. And I was like, yo, I got you, bro. You can come on with me. I see what you're doing. I'm aware of you, and I'm in Hoboken, Jersey City area. I'm supporting Jersey guys. But anyway, yeah, Pat had the article about the Mets and Mendoza talking about the backup shortstop. And Mendoza said they just have to have someone that can finish a game for us in a blowout game. Mendoza said of how the club is looking at their utility man role, maybe play two or three innings. If Francisco needs a day, it would be somebody that would feel comfortable for a day. But if it's something that is an extended absence from Lindor, which we don't want to see that, then we'd have to obviously have a backup shortstop. And he said, I mean, Jeff McNeil can go and finish a game at shortstop too. So that's the way they're looking at it. And then the article goes on to say that McNeil had logged just one big league inning at shortstop, which came in 2023. But he did play the position sparingly in Mets minor league system. And what are the other options? If the Mets don't feel comfortable with McNeil as the primary backup shortstop, they could opt to keep Luis Angel Acuna on the opening day roster. Acuna filled in nicely when Lindor was out with the back injury last season. So, fingers crossed, and like, you know, obviously no trolling, no hating, whatever. Like I want to see Lindor play. This team needs Lindor to play. He's got to play every day. But they just got to be on top of his back situation and make sure that doesn't flare up, because the team looks a lot different without his energy leading off and making plays and bringing it defensively, you know, every single game. The Mets have a target on their back. They're not sneaking by anybody. Everybody knows who Juan Soto is. Everybody saw what Lindor did last year. So now, for the first time in a long time, you're coming into a season where, like, you're expected to win 90-plus games. You're expected to make the postseason. But there are teams that are gunning for you. I know it as a Yankee fan. I always am puzzled at, like, how do the Yankees not know they're going to get everybody's best shot? How do the Yankees not know that, like, you're going to go to D.C. and the Washington Nationals are going to try and beat you every single game in front of your fans who have traveled, you know, to Nationals Park? So, all right, 888-808-1019. I think I have one more break, so we'll break here. When we come back, I'll wrap things up. I'll check my notes and see what we missed. And if there's anything else I want to add, I will do so. If there's anything else you want to add, last call for calls. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan till 2 a.m. Big Mac is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets have acquired Mike Piazza from the Florida Marlins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right. I got less than 20 minutes here to wrap this thing up, and then I'm off until Thursday. The boy Al Cintron will be in tomorrow. I think you get an extended Lugauer, and then Al Cintron will go fill in for me. 888-808-1019. What I want to do here is go back to a couple things, but I don't want to leave anybody hanging on the phone. Anybody that calls you will get in. So my agenda does not take place before your agenda. So let's go to Chris in Bergen County on The Fan, and then I'll fill in the blanks the rest of the way. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, Keith? How are you doing tonight?
I thought that was you, Coach. I'm all right.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know how we always talk about coaching staff. I want to talk about this Jets OC for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we always look at OCs that are coming in, you know, can they call plays? Have they called plays? They understand what they're doing. If you look back at this kid, he's actually, he's called plays before. Okay. He's called plays at San Diego State. He's called plays for the Defenders. He was pass game coordinator for the Lions for 5 years. Like, this kid is going to be good. And now you pair him with Justin Fields. And I know before you were saying, you know, you don't want to take another lineman because it's not the sexy pick. But let's look at Justin Fields and say, what's his best attribute? His best attribute is his legs. So I'm going to go against what you're saying and get the wide receiver. I want to build that line and let this kid do damage between him and Breece Hall. And you know what? Let's keep his arm, you know, to the side a little bit. Do what he has to do, and we'll work on that. But
yeah,
get his confidence with his legs.
No, and you're 100% correct.
I think this is going to be great.
I always want to go for the sexy, splashy pick, especially with a new regime. But, like, this is a deep draft for wide receivers. They don't need to take the top wide receiver off the board. Take the first tackle, the best tackle off the board, and then in the later rounds you can add a receiver.
Right, and like you were saying, that's going to probably be the first tackle off the board. So you're going to get the best that's coming out.
Yeah, I think that's the better plan, and some of these receivers are going to drop. Like Luther Burden, they're saying Luther Burden is going to drop, and if he's dropping, like, I don't know, this is a class of wide receivers. There's a lot of guys that can burn it. There's a lot of guys that can catch the ball. There's receivers with size. You don't need to reach. It would be typical Jets to reach for a receiver at seven. That like maybe Teteroa McMillan being out in Arizona maybe doesn't translate here to New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm kind of thinking differently about that. I'm thinking maybe you do need to follow Tankathon, take this Armand Membo, who's 6'5", 332. 21 years old, out of Missouri. If he can be your right tackle, then you have your two. You have your bookends, your right and left tackle for maybe the next decade.
Right, and if you pair that with Fields, you know what? the kid's been bounced around all over the place. You know, I don't think he's ever had, I don't think he's ever had a head coach like Glenn is going to be. I see Aaron putting his arm around this kid and being like, listen, you know what? I know you've been through hell and high water. And you know what? All that stuff is all over with. And we're going to go forward here. And he's going to be like a father figure to him, I think. I don't know. I see it as a good move.
I could see it. And you know what I said the first night that I was on? I'm like, these guys are with the Lions. You think they weren't watching film of Justin Fields? You think they're not familiar with his assets, like his game, what he does? Like, you think they saw something that they felt like they could work with? Aaron Glenn has probably studied enough film of him with Chicago, you know, correct, being a defensive coordinator to know, like, this kid is talented. And if Tanner Engstrand is on board, which obviously they are, they went to go get him, they're going to cook something up here.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's definitely going to be good. And like you were saying, hey, you know what? We just need something positive in East Rutherford, you know, at some point along the...
The way that he plays the quarterback position is just going to be so different than Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson, Trevor Siemian. Even go back, like Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh McCown.
Like you were saying too, you know, his arm isn't polished, but he throws darts. And let's think about East Rutherford and what that stadium is like. Yep. You know what? It's horrible to play in, especially if you don't have a strong arm. His ball is a very, very tight spiral, which if you play in East Rutherford, you got to have, because you got to get the nose of that ball down and be able to break that wind. And you know what? That kid's arm's going to be good there.
Yeah, and he's got rapport with Garrett Wilson, and they're going to get going, and Jeremy Ruckert. I think he's going to work. I know so many people want to say, this guy sucks. He's never been good. Typical Jets, they go pay this guy, and he's just going to be mid, but I'm more willing to give him a chance.
Look at who he's had. Who has he had? You know, yeah, he's never had a good coaching staff behind him.
Yeah, he went to UGA, he left. He went to Ohio State, he gets drafted by the Bears, he's there for a couple years, he spends 1 year with Pittsburgh, and like, that's another thing, coach. He was 4-2, he started off 4-0. He was running the ball, he was throwing the ball, he was scoring points, he wasn't turning the ball over, and so many people have heard on this radio station say, he sucks, Mike Tomlin's a good coach, Mike Tomlin didn't believe in him. Mike Tomlin leaned on the veteran. Mike Tomlin leaned on the Super Bowl winner. Mike Tomlin moved away from him, and Arthur Smith moved away from him to get their pass game going. They should have went back to him because they ended up losing 5 in a row. They should have went back to him. They ended up not getting it done. Maybe if he was able to, you know, get back in there instead of being on the bench, the younger guy, as the season went on, like, I don't know. I don't think that it's indicative of how Tomlin felt about him. I think it's just a hierarchy thing. We're going with the guy that's got way more experience, that's got a Super Bowl to lead these guys, than to go with the younger guy.
How they didn't have two packages set up for those guys is beyond me. Because like you were saying, you had two guys on that roster in terms of Pittsburgh that, you know, unbelievable talent-wise, you know, and it's just, I don't know. The league is weird, and a lot of these guys would be a lot better coaches if they would play to the strength of who they have around them on the field instead of trying to take a guy and fit him into their box. You know what? How about you make your play calls of their abilities, not the opposite way around?
And yeah, it has to be that way. You know, you can't force a round peg into a square hole. You have to lean into guys' skill sets and what they do. Thanks for the call, Coach. 888-808-1019. With Justin Fields, we know he's a runner, but you don't want him running. You want him running as a way to get out of trouble. You want him running in short yardage. You want him to be the threat running the ball that the defense isn't accounting for. You want him to be running the ball when it's a goal-to-go situation, and he's able to just get around the corner, get around the edge, and run it in. I've heard so many people on this radio station already say that he can't throw the ball. I just think it's ridiculous. I've watched him light it up with DJ Moore. I think him and Garrett Wilson can get it going. I watched him light it up with Garrett Wilson in Ohio State. I think he needs to work on the touch on his passes. But like you just heard Coach say, in MetLife, when it's windy and it's cold and receivers are open, he throws the ball on a rope. He throws a tight spiral. He throws the ball hard. I think Justin Fields, if the Jets didn't get him, there would have been other teams. The Giants probably wanted him. There's definitely other teams that would have taken a flyer on him. He's one of the shinier objects that were available in this class. And it's going to be a philosophy change. When you watch the Jets' offense last year, it was like they didn't want to run the ball because Aaron Rodgers. There were so many times where it was like, yo, you got big-ass Braylon Allen. Why isn't he getting the ball on fourth and one? That's going to change. I think Aaron Glenn and Tanner Engstrand, they want to run the ball first. Like, they want to run the ball to set up the pass. So they're going to run the ball with Breece Hall. They're going to run the ball with Justin Fields. They're going to run the ball with Braylon Allen. And then you're going to get the play action where Garrett Wilson's going to find himself open. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm willing to give them a shot. I'm willing to give them a chance. I'm willing to see if they can get it done before just saying, nope, same old Jets. They're going to fail. These guys are walking into a buzzsaw. These guys aren't going to be able to get it done. They're not going to be any different than the guys before them. They've got a young, talented core. These guys want to win, and they were able to win games with Zach Wilson. They should have won more games with Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers didn't have it. Aaron Rodgers didn't have it late. Aaron Rodgers turned the ball over. Aaron Rodgers blew some of those games that they had leads in. 888-808-1019. The only thing that I wanted to add, and I have 5 minutes left, 6 minutes left, you know, last call for alcohol. The Big East tournament. The Big East tournament. I'm trying to go, but like, I don't ever sleep. And like, I'm looking at the schedule. Like tomorrow, it's today. Today is March 12th. I can't go. It's my wife's birthday. Shout out to my wife too. Pumped. I'm not going to be on the radio. We're going to dinner. So you guys will miss me tomorrow. And it's whack because I didn't miss a KM to AM, a 5 hour, a 7 to 12 for weeks. Because I was on a mission after I went on vacation with my wife and my son. And people are hitting me up like, yo, did you get fired from WFAN? I'm like, bruh, what? I'm like, I get fired on vacation. Like, yo, people are saying you got fired. I'm like, what is this? I'm getting screenshots where I'm like, all right, I'm on the ass when I come back. So I'm like, I'm not even taking off. So this will be the first KM to AM that I do miss. And obviously I've kind of like branded that show. I've sold hoodies and t-shirts and like that name. Like I got a logo made and all that. And I love that show. I love doing that 5 hour KM to AM. But like I said, you know, when I get out of the way, it gives other people opportunity. And I'm excited for Al to get his opportunity early. I know what that feeling is like, right? I know what that feeling is like. Like, you're doing the late night show, and then you get an opportunity to come on a little bit earlier when people can hear you. You get different calls. You get a different energy, a different vibe. It's earlier in the day. At least for me, your cognitive functions are actually functioning. Like, I'm tired as hell right now. When you get on earlier, you're sharper, so... Loogie will be on 6:30 to 8, and then Al Cintron will be on 8 to 12. So he'll do a 4 hour AC, or he should call it AL to AM. He should do a 4 hour AL to AM on the Fan. And then I'll be back Friday, and then I have a show on Sunday. But I do want to go to this Big East tournament. I want to see St. John's. So St. John's is on at 12 on Thursday. So I think I'm going to try and get up and go over there because I'm not going to be on tomorrow and I can go to sleep. I think I got to go see St. John's on Thursday. So here's the schedule. Butler versus Providence at 4 p.m. today. Then DePaul versus Georgetown at 6:30 today. And then Seton Hall, Villanova at 9 p.m. I won't be able to go to those games, but I think I'm going to be there to see St. John's at 12 o'clock versus whoever they end up rocking against. And then it's Marquette Oh, Marquette versus Xavier tomorrow at 2:30. So it starts at 2:30. I didn't even see that. It's funny, like the way Google has a schedule is backwards. So from the top, Big East tournament. Number 4 Xavier versus number 5 Marquette at 2:30 p.m. Number 8 Providence versus number 9 Butler at 4 p.m. Number 7 Georgetown versus number 10 DePaul at 6:30 p.m. Number 6 Villanova versus number 11 Seton Hall at 9 p.m. And then the 1 seed St. John's and the 2 seed Creighton will wait to face who they face tomorrow. And I think I'm going to pull up for that. 888-808-1019. Jose is in the Bronx, back on the Fan.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, I talked to you yesterday.
I know.
I brought you. Remember, you remember me, right?
Yeah. You were talking about Brock Purdy, no?
Yep.
I mentioned you earlier today because there was a report out there that like they're gonna have a huge contract for Brock Purdy, and they're letting players go, and they've cut players, and they're trying to put all his money for a massive extension. Brock Purdy will not be a Giant. He's gonna stay with the 49ers.
Okay. All right. I could deal with that. But I just heard you talk, right? And I called, and I am so glad that I got back on. You know that you just mentioned that they're going to be a run team, that jet team, right? What do you think Garrett Wilson's going to feel like? Because don't you think that he wants to be like a peach? Don't you think that he would like a quarterback who is going to throw the ball to him? Because he's about to get paid, right?
He's going to get paid. He's going to be the number one wide receiver. He already got a lot of targets, but now he's going to get all of the targets. And it's his friend. It's somebody he's known for the last 4 years, 5 years since college. I think Garrett Wilson's going to be happy with this regime. There's going to be order. It's not going to, like, I remember Garrett Wilson talking about how he watches other offenses in the NFL and he wonders why it's so hard for the Jets to just have an NFL caliber offense. I think that they will have an NFL caliber offense this year.
I hope so, because I like the dude. I think he's a good dude, and I think he's talented. I think he's better than our neighbors, and I'm a Giant fan.
So, you know, it's funny. There was a take inside of here where I think Morash and Loogie were saying that Malik Nabers was better than Garrett Wilson before he played one NFL game. And I was like, that's crazy. That's preposterous. But after seeing Malik Nabers this year, I'm like, hell, Malik Nabers is one of the best receivers in the league. And he did it with Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
They're both really good. They're different styles of receivers. Let's see when they both have consistent quarterback play. I don't know who the Giants are going to have throwing in the ball. It might be Jameis Winston, and I'm starting to come around on the idea. I think Jameis to New York makes a lot of sense. Like Jameis would be bigger than ever in New York City.
If he could make it happen.
Yeah, I think it's going down. Jose, you're the man. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. So we will have Jameis Winston throwing the ball to Malik Nabers and Justin Fields throwing the ball to Garrett Wilson. And, you know, I think Garrett Wilson will not be looking for a trade. I think Garrett Wilson will be happy to have his Ohio State buddy with him and have actual coaches in the building that are no nonsense, that are going to put together game plans and scheme and watch film and know what to do. And, you know, coach called me up and he said, no, they should draft the first tackle off the board and don't chase the sexy pick with the wide receiver. Because they could get a wide receiver. I don't know. There's going to be plenty of wide receivers available in the draft. And you don't have to reach at 7. I think right tackle is more of a need for this Jets offense and protecting the quarterback and being able to open holes for Breece Hall and running the ball. All right. I'm out until Thursday. Stay tuned for Big Mac. Call now to be on his show. Everybody have a good night. I'm out.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.